With the $5 meal deal at McDonald's, you pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Price and participation may vary for a limited time only.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
We're going to be doing more Tiger stuff the first half hour of the show as the Tigers rolled up a three-game series against the Braves. And the just coming off the series where they lost 2-3 against Houston, where the offense did come alive Saturday. We'll talk about that and much more. I'm Rahel Castillo. Alongside Ms. Chris Brown and Brandon. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or listen to podcasts on X over at Tigers ML Reports. So please... We now hit 15-8, so you guys listened last week and responded very well. So now get that 16,000 followers on Twitter. You know, Twitter just changed rules where now apparently you can't see your likes or some stupid Elon Musk random change where he was drunk and maybe, I don't know what the hell Elon Musk does half the time. But
Ketamine?
Yeah. Was it a keyhole then? Okay. That makes a lot of sense.
Isn't all that supposed to make you cooler?
It's not worth it. Nah.
Try the microdosing instead or something. I don't know.
Do mushrooms. Mushrooms are good. Use magic mind.
That dude has been nothing but a pestilence in my experience.
Yeah.
I don't really care about the cars or whatever else, but it's just like, hey man, ever since he took over, it's been just straight downhill.
Straight downhill. And there's a lot, like there's some sites that, you know, they used to be good, and he just keeps putting at that. Anyway. Before we get to all that, I want to mention our sponsors over at friends at Bet Online. They're the number one source for the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Finals as the Edmonton Oilers won a game and they're making it a series. Every stat matchup and live odds, although Boston, I think, is going to win the finals. Is Boston? I don't even know where the NBA Finals are at, to be honest with you. I haven't really been paying attention to that. But while the games are being played, while the game is over, head out to our online casino. Or their online casino and get on a game of blackjack or poker or unwind with over 150 slots. Play the slots. Head to our website today and get in on all the action. Use the promo code BELEAV, BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. Also want to give a tip of the cap to Mr. John Klaus, who I talked to earlier. His grandfather says hello to everybody on the podcast, so...
Oh, nice.
A couple words for him today. We were talking about bowling earlier, too, because he was they called him, he was telling us earlier about him being kind of like the pops in a little bit, and he coached a lot of people in bowling, so it was pretty cool to talk to him a little bit. We talked a little bit shop. Wow, so that was it was really nice to hear from him, so.
Yeah, all the best to the Klaus family for sure. Yep.
Keeping it classy. So the Tigers, are very weird stretch right now where they're playing high quality opponents and they're providing entertaining baseball right now. I mean, they're three games under 500 against a Braves team who should be, in a lot of people's opinions, better than what their record indicates. But the Tigers lucked out on Saturday, didn't have to face Justin Verlander, who was scratched due to neck stiffness, correct?
Yep.
Okay. We were out of West Michigan on Saturday. We'll recap that. And then, funny, because the jokes were, well, they're going to let all the offense out Saturday and then come back and the offense is going to struggle.
Almost got no hit.
And almost got a win. And it was actually pretty spot on against Maeda. I hate saying that word. He battled through the start. He really fought his way through, but
he hasn't looked comfortable for 1 minute. In a Tigers uniform, and that, you know, like physically looked comfortable. Like, he's out there you know, stretching the hips and the shoulders and the back the whole time. You know, just not looking sharp in that, you know, obviously he's got to have, you know, precision fastball command to be Kenta Maeda. And we haven't really seen too much of it. He was, you know, he settled into that outing after the second inning, but it was already 4-0. You know, it's like, well, the next three innings were pretty good. But, you know, yeah, I know he's got to be able to get strike one, you know, by locating all three of those pitches around the edges and get ahead of people. Because if he can't do that, yeah, it's, you know, it turns into just, you know, contact theater. Are they going to hit the ball at somebody or not? So, but yeah, so he hasn't been very impressive, you know, overall. You know, the Tigers played the Astros just fine. You know, they just didn't get any hits. Skubal got ambushed in about four batters in the space of about 2 minutes. Other than that, pitched like Tarik Skubal usually does. And here we are. This is the, you know, like we keep talking about, this is the state of a 500 team where some days you're like, you know, I can see it. It's starting to come. And then other days you're like, Jesus, we're so far away. So close and so far away. That's the article I'm writing right now.
So close. That, yeah. It sounds like it sounds like a Dire Straits song.
Yeah. Or a YouTube.
Yeah.
YouTube one, so close, so far away or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Something like that. But Houston Astros, by the way, let go of Jose Abreu. And so much of him, he's just been, his bat struggling right now. He's 37 years old, looking for a place to play. So that was something that happened, I believe, before the game on Friday, right? I believe that's what it was.
Yep. Yeah.
And so, but yeah, if you can't produce, you know, after a while, I mean, when you have a guy like Jordan Alvarez, I mean, you can, in good way, with Singleton batting 217 and strikeout or home run, definitely get away with it. So, yeah. But yeah, overall, it was Saturday's game. I really want to talk about Saturday's game, because Saturday's game was just a bunch of players getting off the schneid a little bit. Riley Greene, et cetera. It was like most RBIs in one game, I believe it was, before, or like, yeah. there was a period of time where we were driving in the car listening to Greg Anya on the call, and it was like between Lansing and almost to West, like the heart of like 96, right, Chris, where it was like the stretch of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think we got from Lansing halfway to Grand Rapids, and it was still the top of the second inning.
Yeah, that was a long inning. Yeah.
Yeah, they I think they sent 12 men to the plate, I think, that inning. And yeah, it was that was fun. It's fun. They need more of those. And then it's just frustrating to have that offensive explosion. You say, hey, I can see it with this team. And like Brandon said, and then, you know, nothing the other two games. It's that's what's, I think, most frustrating to fans, right? Is it's like some days it seems like they can hit, and then most days it seems like they can't. And it's hard to figure why.
Yeah. I mean, obviously a lot of it has to do with the starting pitcher each day. You know, we know this, you know, other teams, you know, watch Tarik Skubal or Reese Olson or Jack Flaherty carve their team up and are like, my God, our team can't hit either. Yeah. There's just a lot of not hitting going on. There's a lot, you know, I keep thinking Tarik Skubal's having like maybe the greatest season I've ever seen. And then I keep looking around going like, oh no, Shoto Imanaga's having an amazing season. Freed is having a good season. You know, all these people are having really good seasons. There's a lot of kick-ass pitching around the league at this point. So yeah, some of it's that, and some of it's just that, you know, they just don't have much lineup balance. You know, we've talked about this before too. They just don't have a right-handed bat that anyone is scared of, really, you know. Canna's solid and Veeling is solid and has contributed decently, but you know, you're supposed to have Spencer Torkelson scaring the heck out of people on that side of the plate, and you know, Riley Greene on the other side, and Kerry Carpenter. So
come up,
there we go.
Come on. Hmm. Oh,
what's sorry. That?
No, I thought.
Oh, you're watching the game.
Yeah, I'm watching the game. I can't show. I can't show the setup I have in here because I'll get copyright. But dude's even making it smiley.
Yeah, it was a leadoff double to Austin Riley, and it sounds like, a sharp fly out to left field, 382 feet, so probably very close to being a two-run homer, huh?
Yeah, I just realized that. I can do this.
We've gotten very good at interpreting the game day data, I'll tell you that. Yeah. I can almost tell what happened in the game pretty well at this point. Just look at the launch angle, where did this go, how hard was it hit?
Yeah, well, We can actually do this and not get in trouble. All right, there you go.
Got a man on third?
Yep.
Yeah, Chris, look.
It was that. So this is the next. Did Will Vest get an out without allowing that man on third to score?
Yes.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah, Sean Murphy just grounded out to Urshela, and so there's
this
two outs.
And this is actually ahead of the TV feed too, right here. The
It's ahead of my phone.
Now they're going to shut us down now.
Yeah, this thing, I've seen this at the ballpark being used. It's a pretty cool setup they have. Mm-hmm. And there's also a way to, if you want to, you can even watch the game. There's another way to watch a game where it's
the stick figures.
Yeah, stick figures, but it's kind of creepy. I'm not gonna lie, it's kind of
cracks me up when they're like, you know, I still have the one from a couple of years ago when Miggy had a walk off hit and then he floated off to space.
Yeah, yeah, where it's tracking all the players in the upper left. Yeah, it's funny too because when like a mound visit happens for a second, like you'll have no, you just like, what is happening? Like everyone's coming together in the infield. This is weird.
And then, I haven't.
Mound visit.
I wonder if it tracks streakers. I haven't seen.
Oh, we haven't tested it yet. I don't know.
I mean, we may have to do this for science.
Yeah, we'll have to do it for science. I'm trying to remember how to bring it up again, but
do all the players' uniforms have like a little motion capture tag in it or something so that they know where they are? I don't know.
Little Reggie Jackson beacon from Naked Gun.
Because the umpires aren't on there, you know, they don't show up. So I guess a streaker probably wouldn't either.
Yeah.
Maybe just you just see a flash in the outfield from the taser.
Some kind of flash.
Yeah. Everybody likes it. Yeah, exactly.
No, but this is a series where they're catching the Braves at a good time, too.
Yeah.
And I think there's a situation where the Tigers can at least maybe grab one here and what happened?
We'll find out.
Play runs.
That looks like a single to right.
This is the most annoying way to watch a game.
God damn it. Son of a bitch.
Yeah. Well, you know, Reese Olson, he doesn't deserve wins. He's been a bad man.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
The slider right in the heart of the plate.
Go
for it.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Will Vest has, you know, probably been their best reliever for the past like 6 weeks, too. So going to him makes plenty of sense here, but, you know. One swing. It is still a good team. I mean, you're talking, you know, obviously they're missing Spencer Strider and they're missing Ronald Acuna Jr. So, and then they're missing Michael Harris. So they're kind of beat up. The injury train, I thought, was like the key thing over the weekend. Cause, you know, in the back of my devious little mind, I still think like if we could get a little help from the farm system, maybe everybody else just gets wrecked by injuries. Cause it just starts happening. You know, the wear and tear injuries start piling up around this time of the year. We had Mookie Betts get his hand fractured. What was it? Yoshinobu Yamamoto's got like a triceps or something's wrong with him. I don't know. He's out. So there's been a lot of players going down with injury, a lot of good players just in the last couple of days. It's been kind of
and the same thing with the minor leagues too. In the Tigers minor league system has been getting devastated by injuries too. And luckily for the Tigers, they have the White Sox coming up after this when they come home, and then they have the Phillies. So it's like just a small reprieve before they take on the best team in baseball. But the one thing, yeah, you're right though. A lot of the wear and tear, Brandon, you're talking about. There's also the amount of pitching injuries across the board too. I think I was reading the Brewers rotation's been taking a hit, or has been. I think the Cubs too. Yeah. Every team has seemed to have some sort of, except for the Pirates. The Pirates seem to continue to march along pretty well. So
they're the team that has the young guys coming up. You know, whereas like the Astros have had like Christian Javier. I think Framber Valdez is hurt, if I'm not mistaken. At least two of their starters are down. So, yeah, there's quite a bit of injuries. Someone just pointed out in here the Tigers have 15 blown saves. Deadly Ninja Bees on point, as usual. You know, we keep talking about the offense, but I just want to keep circling back to the fact that they built a shit bullpen, unfortunately. Pardon my language. It just hasn't worked this year, and they haven't been able to sort out, you know, any of the sort of, like, middle guys, like Shelby Miller, Andrew Chapin. You know, Will Vest has been okay. Jason Foley had his run and then kind of came back to earth. And, you know, Bo Brisky's been effective, but I don't want to see Bo Brisky pitching like the eighth inning with, you know, slim leads and that kind of thing. So, you know, that's turning out oddly to be the fatal flaw, even though, you know, we're obviously thinking about the offense above everything else. You know, they'd probably have another 5 or 6 wins if they had one really good reliever to add into the mix back there. Tyler Holton's getting it going at least, which has been helpful, but that's really been the Achilles heel the last month.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. If you imagine like the Oakland A's bullpen on the Tigers, you go, well, okay, well, that's, you know, you get Ursaag and Miller at the back end, and, you know, have a couple other interesting arms that things might be different. But
yeah, and that's something to talk about because we haven't, you know, we kind of figured that the bullpen, I thought, you know, would be solid and then they'd get some help, you know, as things went along. But Tyler Madison, blown elbow, you know, Wilmer Flores, shoulder injury, hasn't been very good anyway.
Yeah.
Alex Lang's kind of flamed out. So, and they haven't. They haven't decided to convert anybody. You know, they haven't decided to convert Kider or anybody. So
apparently he's in a cast. There's been somebody was talking about this. Yeah, somebody was saying Tiger Stormwell was telling me that his source, which has been correct times, allegedly he's in a cast.
Well, I went back and watched that game where he came out, and yeah, he threw a pitch and then was like immediately just like called them out and just left the mound. Like didn't even debate. He was like, "Yep, yeah. Nope, something's wrong." So,
Brady, we got. I know you got a couple questions, and we'll get to them shortly because the Trey Cruz question we'll get to you shortly. But the Flores is still out with injury. Pacheco's injury also has been.
We were poking around a little bit, but nobody would tell us when we were out on West Michigan. But
he got 60-day, right?
Yeah, he and Andrew Jenkins both got put on a 60-day. A bunch of people did.
Yeah.
It was just like 60-day, but unfortunate because you know he was a guy that was still kind of struggling this year, but you know, any missed time is not gonna help for him for sure.
Yeah. And especially when it was, you know, if it was gonna come together, that was probably like the beginning of it. So mm-hmm. I don't know.
You know what, Brandon, you're talking about arms being converted. One thing that we'll get to Toledo a little later, but to me, what is interesting so far is that you're still seeing Ty Madden going out there as a starter. I mean, the other day he pitched that 3-inning, 9 strikeout, but I think it's more clear to me, like Mark Hanna, nice, double off the left field, the left field. I'm not going to try to look into it, but it seems like that. I'm surprised Tigers haven't tried to do anything with that. So Brady's confirming he was at 5:30, saw him in an isolated cast. Okay, so. But anyway, I'm surprised they haven't tried to do anything with Ty Madden as of yet, because I mean, allegedly too, there's the Brant Hurdler experience still hasn't started yet either. And again, two guys who I think could help out the Tigers in a short period of time, at least as a Band-Aid.
Yeah, they just don't seem to be. I mean, in any way, the Tigers don't seem to be showing any urgency at all to really do anything. They're just kind of playing it out as they drew it up and, you know, haven't made any adjustments. I don't know. The whole thing is making me somewhat uncomfortable. I know not to expect moves until July and stuff, but it just feels like there's just like this sucking passivity going on beneath the surface where everybody's just like, it's just a free year, bro. We'll see how it goes. We're going to bring some people up and play them and kind of see how it goes, you know?
Yeah, that was, I tweeted out that, you know, the Tigers can't keep starting Kenta Maeda if they have any intention of being competitive, and 99% of the comments I got were that they don't intend to be competitive. And I was like, well, I mean, it's what I mean. Like I'm trying to say this, like, yes, if this is, you know, in any way a team that wants to even compete for a wildcard spot, they need to do something about that. And I don't know exactly what it would be. Like you said earlier, Maeda hasn't looked right all year long. It's in the stats. His strikeout rate's down like 3/9 over his career averages. The home runs are up. The walks are up. He's just not comfortable. And I don't know if that, you know, you can put him in the bullpen. You IL him. I've often thought about turning Holton into a starter. he's, you know, been so good out of the bullpen that you don't want to screw that up. But he's another guy that you know, if you don't want Montero, you don't want Manning, just give him a shot. He used to start. But,
yeah,
I don't know.
It's, and just kind of classic that, you know, like they don't want to do anything long term, but then they sign Maeda for a 2-year deal, and here we are. You know, it's like we've got him and Javi, you know, and they're gonna drag them both out now as long as possible, probably too. And you know, I don't know, maybe Kenta's fine. Maybe, you know, I mean, I've seen this happen with him before, where there's like a long couple months where he's like injured, and then he pitches a couple games and he's okay, but you know, but not as good. And it goes back and forth like that. And then he rips off like 2 months where he's got a 3 ERA and then goes back on the IL. You know, I mean, this is kind of like the MO with him at this point in his career. He is, 36 or 7. So I don't know. I don't know if we're going to get that, but I also don't really want to sit around waiting to find out. I want to see Montero. I want to see Madden, you know, starting to come up. And we've talked about this subject quite a bit, but, you know, just the odd conditions at AAA now, with the automated strike system, I just start to wonder like how if it's good or bad to leave your pitchers there too long. Because if you're waiting for them to just, not walk anybody, it's probably not going to happen. You know, it's mm-hmm. you're kind of putting them, you know, in a tough situation where they have to learn how to just like pitch 100% in the zone. And, you know, that tells you something in its own right. But yeah, I don't know. I really wish they had just done this at Double A and left it there. It's kind of weird to have the conditions change so much and then you have to go to the major leagues and conditions are completely different again.
Well, it's even weird seeing it like at a high A level. I mean, the other night was that was one of the worst umps I've seen in a long time. Where the point where Josh Crouch got kicked out for literally just muttering under his breath. That's the only thing I could think of. That was the only thing I could think of. And you thinking at that level it would be appropriate to have that, but no, it makes zero sense to me. And if you look at some of the an article I've been interested in doing for a while is kind of looking at how it's changed some of the numbers with as far as like just even pitch counts go. So I'd be curious to see how many times where because of the extra wasted pitch or wasted pitches, but how much more does it play a factor into pitches thrown versus how many more pitches are thrown per inning? So
yeah. Yeah, that's tricky. If I do strikes out, it's going to be Parker Meadows time in a minute. And I don't know if that's going to go that much better. But I want to go to Samuel McLain here. The problem I have is that even though building a team takes time and you want to do it properly, if you're within earshot of a wild card, how can you tell your fan base you're not trying? And that's it. You know, it's like, what, you know, there needs to be a couple of little solutions that could be found. You know, I mean, I hate to say this because I just know it's not going to happen. But they can go trade for Paul DeJong and a reliever without really giving up that much at all. Mm-hmm. And still trade Jack Flaherty. And then you just call up Job or, you know, Madden or Montero or whoever to plug in and just see where that takes you. But they just don't seem to want to solve any problems externally at all. And it's, it's only year two, but it's becoming kind of glaring when you look at how little they've actually got done. And a couple of the things that they've sort of hamstrung the organization with, they've been good moves, but, you know, Maeda's not turning out to be a good move. And, they cut Willie, they cut Jamer. We are all fine with that because we thought they'd go get better players, but they didn't. So, I don't know. Right about this point, I don't think anybody's really in love with the front office anymore, and the bloom is off the rose now.
No, I mean, this is right here with three rookies in the lineup says every night. Well, didn't we want this? Didn't we want the Tigers to play their young players? So there you go. I mean, you can't, this is what I wanted to see and see what they have, with what players they do have. And so it is very the hardest pill I have to swallow. And Chris, let me ask you this question. Do you see a lack of creativity even on the waiver wire? It seems like even on the waiver wire, like it just seems like there's lack of creativity. I don't know about you, but that's where I'm at with it right now.
You know, I mean, that was my big complaint about the Avila front office is it felt like they never did anything that was unique or interesting. We've seen some of that from the Scott Harris front office. You know, we saw them trade international pool money to get Blake Dickerson. You know, it doesn't help the big league club. We saw him, you know, spend for Eddie's Lanard. But yeah, there hasn't been a ton of creativity and certainly not a lot of trades. You know, one of the, I think the hallmark of Dave Dombrowski was just making all sorts of trades and most of them good. And with Scott Harris, we've had three trades. Joe Jimenez trade, the Gregory Soto trade, and then Blake Holub for Mark Hanna. I think that's it.
Yeah.
And then Lorenzen for Howie Lee.
Oh, that's true. Lorenzen for Howie Lee. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I kind of feel like anybody can make those kind of trades, if that makes sense, that we're not really trying. So we'll take your young guys for our old guys or take our young guy for your old guy. Like, right. Like I'd like to see a creative trade in some capacity. I think like even teams like Arizona and Milwaukee last year, I want to say they both sold and bought at the deadline because they didn't really know what they were doing, but they kind of addressed one need and you know, traded from strength and just something like that. Right. Like the Tigers have 18 second basemen in their system right now. You know, you could probably move one of them. Yeah. I don't know. Do we want to hold on to every prospect we can, but you can go get, like you said, go get Paul DeJong and a reliever or something like, If I don't know, but
and even the small, even the small moves, you know, are just not really in evidence with them. You know, the kind of thing that's been creative is finding Jannick Diaz. I think like signing Zach Lee and Thomas Bruce, like some of these undrafted free agents who started to pop in a camp. Like, we're seeing a little bit more of that kind of thing. Like, mm-hmm. that's all well and good. But yeah, I mean, at the major league level, it seems like a good team finds a reliever basically every year, and the Tigers haven't found one this year. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, that's one of those little details where you'd like to see them, you know, either convert someone or figure something out in that regard. And then, yeah, I mean, I want them to play the rookies, but I also don't want, you know, a gaping hole at first base and shortstop. And they could do some things, you know, to shore things up with a right-handed stick without having to go trade for Pete Alonso, although please feel free. So yeah, I mean, you know, early last year, I was breaking it all down with like Hinch's pinch hit options and like how it was all set up, wrote this whole big article. And like, there was kind of an obvious plan. Like, you could kind of see how it all fit together. And this year you don't see that quite as much either. You know, I mean, Andy makes sense against lefties, you know, I mean, you see kind of how it's supposed to work, but they also haven't, this doesn't feel like a composed lineup. It feels like there's a couple extra guys on it who are just there, you know, who all kind of do the same thing. So
I think,
and Ozzie Albies, was that a two-run shot? No, one. Yeah, solo shot.
Oh.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
On a I saw a stat earlier. I think it was like
middle pitch.
It's a 39% of the Braves hits this year for extra base. Jesus, Evan Christ.
That's a fun way to watch it.
Yeah. Wow. Into the night sky. Beautiful.
Puta madre, me parió con esto. Jole, man. All right. So, by the way, just to give you a heads up. There's a reason why I don't watch the game during the podcast. Swear a lot. I swear a lot. Okay. Yeah. I do swear. And so I have to compose myself and become I'm a professional. I'm a professional podcaster. So I have to compose myself. But wow, that was a terrible pitch. It's like, wait, the home run, where is it? And I saw the pitch going out of his hand. I'm like, oh yeah, here it is. 3-2-1.
Yeah. Just a big blue dot popped up in the middle of the strike zone up, and I was like, oh no.
As soon as you hit him popping up, like, by the way, I love how they pop up out of the bottle. They
just, like ghosts.
Yeah. Yep.
Coming to kill Patrick Swayze again.
If there's one trademark, like if you go even go back to, let's go back a little in time here a little bit, because we saw his son over the weekend, Randy Smith, who his son is Quinn Smith, is over at West Michigan. Really good kid. I really like that kid a lot. He's a really nice guy. He remembers us from Erie. And anyway, there was one thing that each GM did that, although Randy Smith was one of the worst GMs of all time, he also was only confined, but he could only do so much because the Tigers weren't allowing him to spend. At the time, Mike Ilitch wasn't really spending money because they were waiting for Comerica Park. That was the whole thing. So he did everything he could. He threw everything in the kitchen cupboard to get trades. And I mean, as much as this is not like, this is a prime example, but like, there was times where he was able to flip players that were Damon Easley for Greg Gore. There were some trades there that were like unconventional, but it worked out. The Tigers had a second baseman locked up, an all-star second baseman that ended up working out for him. Chad Curtis, a little different story, but I mean, you know, there's certain things that Randy Smith did every once in a while that he lucked out on and got it be a trade. Then the Nebrowski era came. The Carlos Guillen, some trades that weren't so obvious, you know, like some trades that weren't so obvious were, I'm going to stop that there. It got really loud there for no reason. There were some trades. So there's some trades like the Carlos Guillen trade, for example. That was a guy who was coming off injuries. Who knew that was going to be beneficial for the Tigers? But there's little moves in there. The Nate Robinson pickup. That guy was a serviceable starter. There's certain things that worked out under Nebrowski that were low key.
Yeah. Ordonez was a risk. You know?
Yeah. He was a huge risk. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Remember, he had to go to Europe, did his knee examined, and then the whole Daily Freep and Detroit News at the time were thinking this was a bad idea. Yeah. During the Avila period, we didn't. All of a sudden, we started seeing the opposite of that a little bit.
Well, I think we talked about that not too long ago. Is that what's kind of remarkable is Ordonez had that microfracture surgery, which suddenly became all the rage for like three or 4 years, and particularly in the NBA. Yeah. And then it turned out that it didn't work for anybody.
Yeah,
except Ordonez.
Yeah. Amari Stoudemire had the same surgery, and he was never the same player. He lost all the explosiveness that made him.
Same with, yep. Chris Webber had it, like a bunch of NBA, like Kenyon Martin, I think, had it. All these guys who could jump, and then suddenly they came back and they're playing like old men.
Whereas Victor Martinez didn't need to jump, and so it worked for him too, you know, at least for a while. Had the best, you know, best year of his career, I think, in 2014. So
Sean,
that's true, though. You don't hear about that surgery anymore, and now they're doing hydrodissection, and I can't even tell what that is.
It sounds like you know what sounds like hydrodissection sounds like something you do to your teeth, like
like got the water break in there, and maybe that is what it is. They're just blasting the scar tissue with water. I don't know.
Sean, look, Bill LaJoy got was look, there's some. I'll give him a little bit of credit. Sparky Anderson, I blame Sparky Anderson a little bit with Bill LaJoy because Sparky didn't want to play the kids. There was a lot. That's why he left.
Well, he also felt like Tom Monahan too.
Yeah, Tom Monahan was also. And you think Mike Gillis was cheap? Holy crap! Tom Monahan was the king of cheap. I mean, like, they barely had enough money to do anything. So, I don't blame Bill LaJoy there. He built the farm system. He built the core of the '84 team, along with. I mean, he was the farm director when they had those great drafts. So that guy gets a golden ticket for the rest of his life. I mean, but Sparky Anderson was kind of impatient with the prospects. I mean, if they weren't working out, I mean, you went after Darnell Cole twice.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Anyway, but that one's debated. But I don't know. You don't see it right now, as of right now. I mean, in Andy Baez, you can sit there and say, okay, that's a creative signing that has worked out. There's a couple of guys that are still on the fringe of that, but I don't know. There's other organizations, and we saw this Saturday, a prime example of this, the Brewers.
Yeah.
Wisconsin had four or five guys that were just a lot of they have long at bats too. That was another thing I noticed on Saturday's game against the Whitecaps. The Whitecaps had four or five hitters that were under 170, I believe it was, or something along those lines.
Yeah.
And we'll get to more about Jaden Hamm's start, but the Timber Rattlers had guys that were just, they had this shortstop prospect, Venezuelan. They had a couple guys that could just tether the ball, and it was just a very good team. But the and Chris was giving me the lowdown on how well the Brewers have been able to make hitters better and make, you know, add velocity to pitchers and everything. And we're seeing that with the Tigers on the pitching side of things, but the hitting thing is just, man.
And they went and got, you know, they went and got Kenny Graham, and that, you know, that seemed like a great idea at the time to me, you know, for that very reason. You saw like a lot of their young hitters doing well. And that's only continued. So apparently he wasn't the locus of the hitting instruction there, at least not quite like we hope. But I mean the Tigers have done better, I think, certainly, but they were so bad, it's, you know, it's kind of hard to compare and say exactly like how much better they've gotten in terms of hitting when you're still watching a couple of key guys not getting it together. We're getting the Joe Jimenez experience, I see.
Yeah.
All right.
Flint Rap Daily says, my idea is to make this team successful. Stop settling for 70, 80 wins. Trade Scooble, trade Flaherty.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code POD to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code POD at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code POD.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
F.A., Baez, McKenstry, and Kyler. Trade everybody over 27 with the value and play for 2027. Call up Young. I wish it was that easy. He continues Montero, Madden, Navigado, more every day, more everybody running up a level, get the best college bats early in the draft hill because we have some good pitchers and we can find them later on.
Yeah, I mean,
I mean, some of that, sure, you know, but you know, is Navigado, you can just forget about. Just stop. If Navigado was ever going to be called up, it would have been last week. It's just not going to happen, I don't think. So,
is the fan base really wanting another like full on rebuild? Like,
yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think they are.
I feel like,
I get it, you know, and it sometimes you do have to make big trades. You know, we remember the kind of golden era aughts and teens of the Tigers, but it really didn't get very good until they traded Curtis Granderson for Max Scherzer and Austin Jackson. Like they're competing. They made it in 2006 and competed in 2007 and 2009. But then they didn't, you know, it was getting Austin Jackson to be your center fielder, getting Max Scherzer as that second, you know, power arm in the, and then trading for Anibal Sanchez and Doug Fister and all that stuff. Like sometimes you have to trade good players to get better, but that team was also, I think, farther along than this team. You know, they still had Verlander, they had Cabrera.
And that team in a lot of ways was also much more poorly constructed. Like there was no speed, you know, outside of Austin and maybe whatever, you know, random person was on the bench, Quentin Berry or whoever. You know, it was fairly heavily right-handed. There was a lot of things that they could have done more efficiently without even needing to make those big trades. And I continue to think that that's probably why this didn't work out. Back then, there were just too many, you know, too many elements where they just kept. Didi was just like, I'm just going to keep adding good players, and that's good to a point, but it also wasn't very well composed as far as you know, the bullpen, obviously, never having any backups, you know, not really having very good defensive outfield, so you're giving up extra base hits more. You know, there's so many different ways to construct a baseball team, and the Tigers don't need to sell everything off. They don't need to tear it all down. If they had a bullpen and like an average bat at first base right now, we'd be in it, you know, we'd be probably right there with the Twins. And, you know, so we don't need to get too crazy. And there's probably no point even thinking like that because it's, you know, it just does not at all seem to be the MO for this front office where they're going to go crazy. You know, they're going to trade Jack Flaherty. Maybe they'll flip a reliever or find someone to give us like a spec arm for Bedu or, you know, whatever. But it's not going to be, you know, outside of Flaherty, I don't think there's going to be anything too eye-popping, unfortunately.
So, by the way, I like this guy's name. This guy on Twitter at Brookins Institution. That's a sweet name. He uses a picture of the former Tiger and Erie Seawolf manager, by the way, Tommy Brookins. Yeah. And no, seriously, I can't get over that, how cool that name is. Brookins Institution. Hey, gentlemen, what's up, Chris?
He's been around for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How much has Jobe's missed time affected his timeline to the bigs, you think? Is he late the next couple starts? You think he's right back on track Detroit sooner or later? And by the way, if you do want to donate to the website, because somebody mentioned this earlier that, like, actually, it was John. He's like, oh, it looks like you guys are not getting a lot of donations. Well, there's a PayPal link right there on the bottom. It goes a long way. Everything goes back to the website, goes into the Chris or studio restorations that is going on right now in Studio West over there. Yeah. And then, yeah, for gas and all that stuff too. So, but anyway, yeah, he was the Lord of Drip. But that's a good question. I think we actually had a fan ask us the other day on Saturday. I think that he's going to end the season in Toledo, possibly. And then, you know, he's starting tomorrow for West Michigan. We'll get to that a little later. And I think he's spent some time in Erie. Then I think depends on what happens with Montero or Madden, that you can see him end the season in Toledo and then maybe get a shot at the rotation at the beginning of the year next year.
Yeah, I think that the injury might have actually helped them a little bit, because I don't know that they wanted to bring Job up to the big leagues this year, and there's a good chance that he would have kind of been forcing their hand by this time. I didn't think he was going to be in Erie much longer the way he had started to pitch down there. We talked about it before. It was something like 33 consecutive batters without a hit or something like that, a couple walks. I'm curious to see what they do with him tomorrow. He's got a rehab start tomorrow in West Michigan. I'm wondering if they let him go more than two or three innings.
I think we both know that they won't, right?
Yeah, so I'm thinking three innings tops, depending. It may be like 45 pitches, three innings, whatever you can do. Yeah. And then they'll give him another two starts or whatever, and then up to Erie. And then, yeah, probably in Erie for most of the year, I guess, now. And unless he just comes back and is, absolutely dominant, I think he's probably going to be a little bit rusty. And they'll get up to Toledo by the end of the year. And then it wouldn't shock me if they pull him aside before next year, maybe talk to him about one of those Colt Keith extensions where they get him for $14 million for 12 years or something like that. And
should have talked to him right now while he was injured.
Yeah. Well, who knows? Maybe they are, but
yeah, I don't know. I'm going to say that Job is going to come back and probably be fine within like three or four starts. Like, I expect by the All-Star break, he looks major league ready, and they will probably just send him to Toledo and stash him there the rest of the year. I think you guys are probably right. It does kind of depend. Yeah. Like when they trade Flaherty, like, do they have someone that they can call up? My personal feeling, and I'm going to end up yelling at them about this probably, is that if a pitcher is ready to pitch in the major league, you need to do that. Something that is going on with this front office is like they act like, the timetables all have to align, bro. We're trying to set this all up down the road. And it's like, no, you have, half of the team right now. You've got an outfield. You've got a second baseman, in my opinion. You've got two decent catchers. You've got a pretty good rotation, minus, whoever the fifth guy is. And again, if you had a bullpen, we might be in this thing. And I don't want to sell the farm. I want to keep, building. I want to give Scott Harris time to build the organization and the system his way on the one end. But that doesn't, that doesn't evade the responsibility of that. When you have any kind of a solid team, you should be trying to find a few small moves around the margins and at least give them a chance. And I don't know if they're going to do that or not. But yeah, like stashing Job to just pitch at Toledo is going to just infuriate me. There's just no reason for him to be there for very long. You want to get him some experience, pitching through traffic and having some long innings and some problems. I think that makes good sense to me. But other than that, I mean, you could call him up, in a couple weeks, and he'd probably be fine pretty quickly in my estimation. So I don't know. We'll see what they do, but I have a feeling I'm going to be mad about it.
Yeah, I think the reason why we get innings at Toledo is just to get innings, period, just for the year, not necessarily because I don't think he would, just as a punishment, or necessarily don't think that he's ready either. But I think they want to see what they have with along the lines of like what they can do with Montero. Even I think what's going to happen is I think the Wilmer Flores experience is going to be over soon, because I think that if Flores doesn't come back and doesn't be effective, who knows what I don't say necessarily move away from him or what have you, but it just, he goes lower on the priority list. And that's where, what I struggle with is the next wave of hitters, where they're going to come from. Because you look at, like you said, you were mentioning earlier, yes, they have a bunch of short second basemen. Chris was mentioning this earlier. A bunch of second basemen they can do with. Okay, so now you have Dingler. Dingler is actually making himself a case be known. So you trade Carson Kelly for what? A bag of balls, essentially, because that's kind of worth he's out there for. So then but then you go at West Michigan and Lakeland. I mean, Lakeland has McGonagall, Clark. They have a couple guys that you can look at, but the one thing that I saw at West Michigan this weekend that was really alarming to me was even like guys like Mac Anderson and these guys, that it wasn't pretty. I'm not going to mince words here. It was one of those things where I was watching the game and there was a lot of short at bats, but the pitcher they had, the Wisconsin's pitcher was, I mean, he kind of reminded me of King Felix in a way. He had a kind of similar setup and everything. He wasn't even throwing a changeup that much, as Chris was pointing out. And he was just fastball, slider, and just a lot of like maybe one hard hit ball. And they got Graham playing center field, by the way. They had Graham playing center field, not because probably injury wise, but I don't know. It was grim.
Yeah. I mean, we know, no surprise, right? We know there's no bats there. It's pretty much how you lead it at Erie, you know, maybe some help from a Trey Cruz or a Gage Workman, but, you know, or Holton, maybe Myers figures something out too and takes the next step. I mean, but there's nothing, Howie Lee is the only one above A-ball right now that I really feel like, okay, you know, until you get to AAA, like this might be a starting player who can really hit, you know, Jung. Mm-hmm. Young, I feel the same way about, you know, like kind of close. There was some really good data from someone at Baseball America today about, you know, kind of going through like all the different breakdowns, like where he was against left-handers and right-handers, in zone, out of zone, his chase rates, all that stuff, had it all broken down. There's a pretty good article about, you know, kind of up-and-coming prospects who might make an impact. And, you know, it kind of fit what we've been talking about. Everything looks good. There's just a little bit more swing and miss in the zone than we would like. So, you know, I mean, we know the Tigers are not going to find, like, magically a whole bunch of offense coming out of the system in the next year. It's just, you know, not very likely. Young might be kind of good. I would kind of expect him to be more like Keith in a way, you know, like probably more home runs because he gets more loft and pulls more balls in the air, but it also isn't going to hit for average or kind of put together the type of at bats that Colt is already. So, you know, there's not a ton of help there, but you can pitch people to death. You know, you don't need the world. You got Kerry Carpenter and Riley Green. That's two, you know, of the, I don't know, 15 best hitting outfielders in baseball right there. You know, you look around the game, there's just not that many juggernaut offenses out there on paper. You know, Cleveland's scoring a ton of runs, but if you go through guy by guy, there aren't very many that scare you there. It's just all put together well. You know, they're pinch hitting well. They're stealing bases. They're hitting and running. They're having a good old time playing some old school ball in there.
Good defense.
So, yeah. They've got a plan, you know, to make something like that work. The Tigers don't need like Pete Alonso and Trey Turner to like have any shot. You know, it's not that dire, and they don't need to go crazy, you know, right now either, because we do want them to continue to build the farm system. We want Scott Harris and Metzler and Mark Conner to have their input and build the system from the ground up and all that stuff. I'm not opposed, you know, to pretty much holding off on trading, you know, anybody important. That's fine by me, but man, you know, where are the wins around the margins? Like, where are the small details? These are the kinds of things that a Scott Harris always sells themselves on. Like, oh, I'm not going to make big moves. We're not going to make big signings, but you know, we're going to find advantages here and small edges here. And that's what, you know, I don't see a bit of it this year really at all. And you can do that kind of stuff. You know, you can at least try. I don't think anyone here expects to win a World Series next year right off the bat. So, you know, maybe you do have to trade Tarik Skubal if you can't get him to sign an extension. But it all compounds itself, because why would Tarik Skubal want to stay here when you're not even trying? You know, if I'm Tarik Skubal, I'm like, well, you only get so many bullets in this thing. You know, send me to New York or LA where they actually are trying to win and, you know, let me have the prime of my career there. Or you guys do something. You know, show me some interest. I see, you know, Truist Park is just packed to the gills. They're making plenty of money. You know, that's how it's done, Chris Illich. You know, put a good team, like in Detroit, you don't even have to put a great team out there. You put anything worth watching, we'll pile in and be all about it. So I don't know. I just don't understand the total lethargy that seems to be coming out of this organization in a lot of ways. They're taking a long time to address issues on the field. They're not making many moves. Scott Harris has made a couple of small trades. The Flaherty signing was good. The Lorenzen signing was, you know, solid. And then, you know, you signed Boyd. Now we have Kenta Maeda for 2 years. Like it's, you know, it's not real impressive so far, I have to say.
Well, I will say this. First and foremost, Matt Broder, thank you for being a member of our Tiger Minor League.
Oh, Matt.
Right. Yeah. So you can join up, by the way, for a few bucks, and just allows you to support the podcast in one way, shape, or form. So thank you for that. But there's one thing that I noticed down at the ballpark versus before. There's a lot more younger guys in khaki pants in terms of like scouting people around that. and that's where it's kind of like the alarming thing to me, at least in some cases, where it's like just, I think Hinch is doing what he can with the lineup he has, and people who blame Hinch, what are you going to do? Yeah. This is the talent he has, and so
you are lucky to have AJ Hinch.
Yeah, and there was something that Mike Valenti said that really pissed me off.
I keep waiting for him to bail. Yeah,
there's something that Valenti said that really pissed me off, and he was talking about Kirk Gibson saying having more patience with the farm, and Valenti saying, "Well, the hell with that, blah blah blah." First and foremost, I understand where Vlenny's coming from, but you also don't watch baseball, you total idiot. And I'll tell him his face, because here's why I think that. One, there are within all the with all this complaining we're doing right now, or not complaining, but looking at it, objectively speaking, there has been small. You got Carey Carpenter, you got Winseal Perez, you got Colt Keefe. You're actually getting something from the farm. Is it enough to where you're getting progress? You're getting something from the farm system you haven't gotten in like a decade plus. You're getting multiple contributions. So I don't know. What, be patient. Yeah, because I understand where Kirk Gibson's coming from, because they're still developing. You see changes in compost right now.
Mm-hmm.
You're seeing what they're getting with Haiyu Lee. There's certainly Trey Cruz is another example. There is something to be said about that. As a organization overall, farm system is, I think, among top five teams over 500. So there's something there. But the aggression of the front office, the sometimes like just left, like maybe they're just like going, hey guys, you're the ones being impatient. Not really. I mean, we're talking about late, we're 12 weeks into the season, and the Tigers are just, you know, getting above 500 in a division where you're going to see the Royals make one of the biggest turnarounds, one-year turnarounds in league history that hasn't been done over 100 years. So I understand why Tiger fans are going, come on. But I think Vlenny's a jackass for seeing it in the first place. Anyways, if you're not paying attention to this team if you don't see that part at least.
Yeah, I mean, the Royals traded a reliever and got Cole Reagans last year. So your move, Scott, you know, what can you get for Jack Flaherty? You know, other teams pull these things off, you know, you can't expect that every single move or, you know, whatever. But, you know, you're selling, the whole selling point here is that these guys are smarter than everyone else. You know, that's literally what they're saying to us. Like, we're not going to outspend everybody. We're going to bring a really smart team in here. You know, we're going to boost our development staff. We're going to boost scouting. We're going to boost, you know, science and technology and the research department and all this kind of stuff. And we're going to out compete teams that way. But I just don't really see all those, you know, I don't see any of those edges, you know, really forming around the margins yet where it looks like, yeah, we're, you know, we've been better at developing pitching, but I still don't know that we're like elite at it. You know, we're good. I think we're good at developing pitching, but I can't really say you're great when we don't have a single reliever throwing 99 out of the pen. You know, you would think certain things that you see in the Dodgers and the Braves would have started to come to light a little bit more for the Tigers in some of those regards, where guys are coming out of the farm system and you're putting them to work and finding the right role right away. This is also a time when more prospects are taking longer, at least hitting prospects are taking longer to get ready. And that's also something we have to keep in mind, because I don't know, maybe Spencer Torkelson next year is good. I'm not going to bank on it. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to put everything into that, but you look at, you know, like the young hitters and they should keep getting better. I think more now than ever, it's really hard to be prepared for this. And when you get to the show, it probably does take, you know, 3 months just to kind of like, you know, get your bearings at all. So I still have tons of faith in Colt Keith. I'm sure a lot of people, you know, who didn't watch him in the farm system don't feel the way I feel about him, but I'm like, okay, we're locked in at second base, or we'll pumped him to first base because his defense isn't that good, whatever it is, but there's a bat for you. So I don't feel the situation is bleak. I just feel like the Tigers are telling us almost that it's bleaker than it is, you know, in an effort to like both tamper expectations down after building them up, you know, all preseason, like with all their advertising. And we can go back 2 years to all the rebuilds over from Chris Illich and all that kind of stuff. And now here we are again, like, you know, just milquetoasting our way through this thing and eating soft bread, you know, to keep our old teeth from cracking, just trying to stay alive for a little while longer and earn more time for the farm system. I'm not very thrilled. I want to see them do something, and it can be small, but I do need to see like them win some trades and prove to me that this is, you know, a viable thing, that they're actually going to be smarter than other players and going to get, you know, going to make those moves and out deal people. Because right now I don't really know what to bank on. You know, most of the improvements in the farm system came before Scott Harris got there, and you know, he's bulked up the system and all that kind of stuff. But you know, he kept Menzin, he kept Sartori. He obviously wasn't totally dissatisfied with the state of the organization. And you know, so what are we doing?
They did a really good PowerPoint presentation. I'm not really sure
they blew him away, no doubt.
Yeah, Chris, what'd you want to add before we moved on?
Nothing, you know, that you guys haven't really covered. It feels like, you know, as fans, people tend to have kind of the lifespan of a mayfly, right? Like, we want everything immediately because we're going to die tomorrow. And the org front office is operating on like geologic time.
Right.
It just, if they're like, yeah, we, you know, about 5 years down the road, we'll really start to crack this thing open. It's like, come on. Like, there's got to be somewhere in the middle, right? Where just some signs of progress at the big league level would help. And honestly, you know what? A lot of this really does just come down to Spencer Torkelson not playing well this year. If Torkelson had taken the step forward that everybody was projecting and hoping for, you know, people were like, oh, I think he's going to hit 40 home runs this year. And it's like, well, how about four? Yeah. you know, it's and that's just the tough thing about baseball. Sometimes your young players don't improve. Sometimes they don't work out. And that has caused a pretty huge issue. Now you could argue they should have had a better backup plan. But it's kind of tough to have legit backup plans at every position.
Yeah.
You should be better than what they have. But I mean, you know, Canna is kind of a backup plan at first base, right? And they're playing Ibanez there. So
yeah,
I don't know. They could have done more, but
offense has kind of been better without him, honestly.
Yeah. So
there's the analogy, and then Tyler, we're gonna get to Tyler's question. We're gonna take a quick 30-second break, but because Tyler's question is a really good one, and we'll answer that question, then we'll get in the system beforehand. But we'll go into Toledo or what have you. But the Tigers remind me of, if you go to 7-Eleven or you go to any type of convenience store, you have that one person in front of you that is checking every single lottery ticket they've owned since 1975. For whatever reason, you just have a Slurpee or some just drink. You have one drink, or you just want to get a pack of smokes or whatever the case is. But you have that one person who's going to check instead of using the machine that's right there to the left and convenient. That guy is going to the clerk and making sure that they're checking every single one because they're too lazy to use the barcode and check that out. And that's what the Tigers front office is doing right now. They're checking every player
thoroughly
instead of just using ulterior methods to expedite the process. Okay. That's what the Tigers are right now. They're the old guy in the lottery at the convenience store checking their lottery tickets and taking their dear sweet damn time. And that's, I know,
and that goes back to the being smarter thing. Like, they're supposed to see this faster than other people and not need to just like move everybody up a level, and then they move up to this level and we give them a year and we give them a year and we bring this guy up and he gets a year. You're supposed to know in advance, you know, you're supposed to be trading away the guys that aren't going to work out in advance when they're still prospects and have value. You know, if Justin Henry Molloy doesn't turn out to be a pretty good hitter, well, they screwed up because they didn't trade him this offseason. You know, those mistakes of omission where we don't see it because nothing happened, but it's like you just let that value turn over. Whatever was there, you let this guy, you know, kind of age into the major leagues without really ever doing anything, and he was more valuable back then. And it's your job. That's the fundamental part of the front office, is to get the most value out of your guys, you know, and extract the most value out of other teams. If you don't know your team better than everybody else does, how the heck are you going to figure out who on their team you need to get, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if you're not thorough enough, you're going to miss that $2 winner, and it's going to cost you $2. And the Tigers don't want to lose $2 at this point. We'll be right back after this quick break.
Have a question or need how-to advice? Just ask Meta AI. Whether you want to design a marathon training program or you're curious what planets are visible in tonight's sky, Meta AI has the answers. It can also summarize your class notes, visualize your ideas, and so much more. It's the most advanced AI at your fingertips. Expand your world with Meta AI. Now on Instagram, WhatsApp, Facebook, and Messenger.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact, with semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch. It's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie, and fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
When you buy a new house, you might say,
shut the front door.
Winning.
No, seriously, shut the front door. We own this house now.
But you actually need to say,
like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. The local State Farm agent is there to help you choose the coverage you need.
Welcome to my crib. No one says that anymore, but I don't care.
So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Or your grandma here with us, making carne asada.
She does love a cold Corona.
Throw in some dancing.
Oh, we can watch the game.
I'll drink to that.
So a backyard concert with football, food, dancing, and Corona?
And your grandma.
Or we could keep it simple.
Simple is good. Want a Corona?
Thanks. Salud to the perfect day.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.